Welcome, listeners of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am Larry.
And I am Justin.
This is our first pre-recorded episode for when I inevitably go on paternity leave. And we just recorded an episode, so there's no need to do what's new. But I do have a quiz for you, Justin. And it's actually kind of themed for this movie. And for those who couldn't tell from the title of the episode, we are reviewing Paris Hilton's House of Wax.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Pick a color. Black, red, white, purple, hot pink, or green?
Red.
Pick a type of car. A classic, an old beat-up truck, a hearse, a sports car, a truck, or a convertible.
Can you read those off again? Sorry.
Absolutely. A classic, an old beat-up truck, a hearse, a sports car, a convertible, or a truck.
A hearse would be pretty cool.
All right, Herman Munster. Pick something emo. Dyed hair, a skull, skinny jeans, facial piercings, skateboarding, or dark makeup.
Skulls.
What's your favorite pop punk song? All the Small Things by Blink-182, Thanks for the Memories by Fall Out Boy, Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance, Misery Business by Paramore, The Anthem by Good Charlotte, or American Idiot by Green Day?
Misery Business,
I think. I do love me some Paramore. Pick some 2000s nostalgia. A disposable camera, a flip phone, a baggy black hoodie, a Walkman, an iPod Nano, or a guitar?
Walkman.
Pick an activity. Trying something new, skydiving, traveling, staying away from people, watching TV, or partying?
Staying away from people.
Choose a nostalgic 2000s store. Claire's, Hollister, Limited, Hot Topic, Blockbuster, or Spencer's?
Blockbuster.
And finally, what concert are you going to? Avril Lavigne, All Time Low, My Chemical Romance, Nirvana, Linkin Park, or the All American Rejects?
I guess Nirvana.
Justin, I wanted to know which 2000 pop punk band was constantly on your iPod shuffle, and the answer was My Chemical Romance. Fitting for tonight. You're edgy, introverted, and you'd rather keep to yourself and stay in than go to a big party. You prefer wearing black to blend in with the crowd over wearing a vibrant color that might make you noticed.
Okay, I can see it. I don't like My Chemical Romance, but I see it.
Oh, don't say things like that. Okay.
I don't like emo music that much.
Oh, no. Okay, listeners, it's time. Let's talk about House of Wax. Slasher film directed by Jamie Colette Serra. This was his directorial debut, but he has since directed Orphan and The Rock's Jungle Cruise and Black Adam.
I like The Orphan because it really creeped me out.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, do you know the story? You know the story behind The Orphan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the reveal that freaked me out. Yeah.
Our film stars Alicia Cuthbert, Chad Michael Murray, Paris Hilton, and Jared Padalecki. So Cuthbert, pretty much every dude our age knows who she is. She actually got started, Justin, with Are You Afraid of the Dark? But you and I probably know her best as Kim Bauer from 24. Darcy in Old School, and then Danielle in The Girl Next Door. In 2013, she was named by Maxim as TV's most beautiful woman.
Interesting. Okay. I never watched 24.
Oh, really? Yeah. I watched like the first like three seasons, and then it got a little bit too much.
Yeah. I didn't know until right now that Jack Bauer had a daughter, I'm assuming.
Oh, she's the focus of like the first three seasons.
Oh, okay.
Chad Michael Murray. He was a heartthrob for our teenage girl listeners at the time. Around the same time that Cuthbert was for the boys. He starred in One Tree Hill, Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek, and Riverdale. He also was the love interest in a Brandy and an Alicia Keys music video.
Interesting. What is he doing these days?
He was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's like writing books with Heather Graham.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Paris Hilton, everyone knows who she is if you have One any Night kind Paris. Of... I was going to mention that. She is a staple of the Hollywood socialites. Her most popular thing outside of the X-rated stuff was probably The Simple Life with Nicole Richie.
Yeah, probably.
And then Padalecki. I was mistaken when we started watching this because I thought this was the supernatural brother you wanted to spit in your mouth, but it was the other
one.
Yeah,
it's the other one, yeah.
But he was also in Gilmore Girls, and we're going to see him again, Justin.
Oh, I know where.
He was... Say it.
Friday the 13th.
Good job. Correct. This serves as a, and I quote this, loose remake of the Vincent Price film that we reviewed just a few weeks ago. Shot on a budget of $40 million, it grossed 70.1 at the box office. In January of 2006, Village Roadshow Studios and Warner Brothers sued special effects specialist David Fletcher in Wax Productions for a fire on set during filming. They sued them for $7 million, saying that the effects specialists were negligent in safety, such as not having firefighters on standby and keeping flammables near open flames, leading to the set burning to the ground. And to this day, where the set stood, it is now still an open field.
Really?
I tried to find the results of the lawsuit, but that link in Wikipedia is a dead link, so I do not know how that went. At the Teen Choice Awards that year, the film won Best Actor for Chad Michael Murray, Best Horror Film, and Best Scream Scene for Paris Hilton. The soundtrack for this film fucking slaps, and it includes songs from My Chemical Romance, Deftones, Disturbed, Blood Simple, Marilyn Manson, and Joy Division. Although a follow-up film, which was planned to be a prequel, was planned for this, the lack of box office success led for it to die.
Interesting.
Trivia. Jared Padalecki and Paris Hilton later appeared in an episode of Supernatural together, centered around a wax museum. They even referenced the movie in the episode.
Interesting. I don't remember that, but I'm sure my wife is like a Supernatural fan.
So she'll let us know.
Yeah.
Padalecki is 1 foot taller than his co-star Alicia Cuthbert. In order to make herself appear taller in scenes where she and him were together, Cuthbert taped 2-inch blocks of wood to the bottoms of her boots. This was only done during the scenes where they could shoot her from the knees up. Cuthbert, who's a natural blonde, dyed her hair brown for the film to contrast with Paris Hilton. And ironically, Paris Hilton is a natural brunette.
Hmm.
This is Paris Hilton's second horror film after the movie 9 Lives, which I have not seen.
Either of them. I'm going to look it up right now.
Cuthbert got stuck repeatedly in the melting wax bed while filming the final scenes of the movie. The wax used was peanut butter.
Okay. So he got stuck in peanut butter.
Uh-huh. In the church where Carly hides, as well as the movie theater where Carly and Nick are hiding, most of the wax figures are actually extras wearing wax masks.
Oh, okay.
And Warner Brothers granted Paris Hilton permission to sell t-shirts that read, "On May 6, Watch Paris Die," as an effort to promote the film.
Interesting. Weird. I'm surprised that they let her kind of give that up. Although I guess if she's just kind of a minor character.
part of me wonders if they were concerned that this movie was going to be a flop, which it kind of was. Like, it made $70 million on a $40 million budget, but I'm sure they were expecting a lot more.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to let you do the summary, since I had to do it for Beast from 20,000 Fathoms.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So...
And you can tag me in to help whenever you need it.
Oh, help.
No. So the movie starts off with a flashback to the past with two little boys whose faces we can't see eating, and one is chained up and one is a good boy. Then we have Paris Hilton and crew going to a football game, and they decide to stop at the side of the road, and their car's belt gets cut, and so they split up, which was dumb. And then the most incestuous twin couple of all time, Lisa Cuthbert and Chad Michael Murray, are like doing their thing, and Padalecki is dating Cuthbert, and they go into this town, they're walking around, and they come across the mechanic, who's also the preacher, and he's like kind of weird, and he captures them and cuts off her finger after tying her and gluing her mouth shut, which, by the way, was real glue because she wanted it to look real. Then basically our characters start getting killed off one by one. One dude gets his head cut off. One dude gets his throat slit. Paris Hilton takes a pipe to the dome. And Padalecki gets waxed alive.
Oh, and then part of his face cut waxed?
Off. Yeah, as his friend was trying to peel him out of it and was skinning his face off. Basically, we come to find out, though, that the two little boys we saw at the very beginning of the movie were Siamese twins. And the parents had separated them, and one of them was crazy, and one was just, like, kind of tied to his brother. They definitely, you know, they're Siamese twins, because every opportunity they possibly could to put them, like, back-to-back, they do, including when they both die, and they fall and stack on top of each other. Our only two people to survive are incestuous twins.
Oh, but also, it turns out at the end that there was actually a third brother... who was the person who drove them into town in the first place. This fucking movie. It does have an awesome soundtrack, though.
Have a fucking banging soundtrack. So let's talk about the plot.
So I am curious to... I want to ask you a question, basically, about how you want to approach this. Do you want to... Because it is a loose remake... Do you want to basically toe it up against the original, or kind of as its own thing, but also comment?
As its own thing, but also to that, because as people know who listen, like, we loved House of Wax. Like,
House of Wax was amazing. Incredible.
It was great. And that's when I discovered how much I love Vincent Price again. And this one, the plot reminded me... It was like they were trying to do Texas Chainsaw Massacre
in a lot of ways. Absolutely.
And because of that, that's actually what I kind of compare it to more than anything else. Because we reviewed the TCM remake on here, and it's great. Like, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like the best movie in the franchise. And, I mean, the original is great, but in a lot of ways, like, that remake was brutal and good.
Yeah.
In this one, it was almost like their logic to get them there was really dumb.
It was a big stretch. Like, clearly they had, like, the, like, 80, I'd say, like, 80, 85% of the movie ready. And then they're like, oh, wait, shit. How do we get them there? And it felt really, like, that part felt really rushed and almost, like, underplanned from a, like, a writing perspective, because the rest like makes sense, I guess, like in a weird horror movie way, but like getting them
and, like, in TCM when they get stuck and they end up going to the Sawyer house, like that one makes sense for the circumstances around it, but I just can't imagine after finding that pit of dead bodies and stuff and just not getting the fuck out of Dodge with everybody, like leaving the car there and coming back for it or something, like it is and then to go so far off the road in, like, modern times to camp, it felt really dumb. And that was kind of my big takeaway, is, like, everybody makes, like, the dumbest decision possible.
Yeah, and, like, you're right. It is very, like, TCM, But, like, it's like they saw House of Wax and said, like, how can we turn this into Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Mm-hmm. We have this IP. What can we do?
Yeah. And, like, it does remind me of what if in Texas Chainsaw Massacre everybody just made really fucking stupid decisions.
Like, even dumber than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that one, like... Oh.
I mean, it... Listen, it's a...
It's a slasher. There's some movie. Dumb
decisions in yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But this is, like, to the next degree. Like...
Yeah.
Who... I mean, you're right. The camping situation alone is, like, whatever. Let's say that happens. Okay, then you wake up and your belt's cut because you ran into a weirdo in the middle of the night. Why the yep. fuck would you stay there any longer? Why wouldn't you just go, you know what? Let's go.
Well, we're done. Go. We're out of yeah. here.
We'll come back for the vehicle, maybe. We gotta go. Like, yes. Yeah. Oh, there's a football game. Who gives a shit? I don't want to die. Like,
yeah, exactly. And it was just very odd. And in a lot of ways, I felt like the movie was written around the actors. Instead of, like, actually writing a script.
I can see that about, like, how they handled Paris Hilton, for mm-hmm. sure. And even... Yeah. I think it was more like, oh, we have this cool idea for this. We want to, like, reshoot the wax house melting.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
UCGI, whatever. how do we write an entire movie around that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it
because
feels
the town
very...
being abandoned and filled with, like, bodies of wax people was pretty cool. And I don't, like, there's some cool elements, but overall the plot is just, like,
it's messy.
It just jumps the shark so fast, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, like, it's definitely got, like, a cool premise, especially for a remake. Like, I can see where what they're trying to do, but, like, there's something that just... It's like they had all these cool ideas and cool set pieces, but just couldn't find a way to... Yeah, like, tie them together and, like, make it all very cohesive. It just felt messy.
I gave plot 4.5.
I gave it a 5. It was middle of the road for me.
Cinematography is probably going to be up there for me in a couple regards. One, the gluing the mouth shut was pretty brutal, and knowing they use real glue, it looked good, so that makes sense. Him cutting off her finger was really, like, it's like we talked about that, like, a scene that, like, always stuck with us.
Yeah.
And then the wax, like, finding out the director really wanted to use practical effects as much as he could. And so that's where the peanut butter came in, because there's a lot of scenes where they're walking through wax as the house is melting around them, and the actual, like, hell mouth that kind of existed was obviously CGI, but yeah. Like, the bed was made out of peanut butter, like, you know, just to try to keep it realistic. And I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that there was, like, a lot of attempts to make it real, like, practical where they could. Obviously, there's some things they wanted to portray, like the entire house coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Was clear, like, that's kind of my biggest issue, is, like, you can tell when something's CGI in this movie.
Like, when they climb out of, like, the House of Wax sign?
Yeah. Yep. but, like, them moving through the wax while it's melting is cool.
And up the stairs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, as she's, like, trying to run away.
What do you think of Paris Hilton taking the pipe to the face? That's, like, the scene that everybody remembers.
She's good at taking a pipe. anyway, I do really like, while I think it's, like, a really dumb choice as for a character, I do enjoy Jared Padalecki's face getting, like, pulled apart. I think it looks like gruesome, and then he, like, gets it, like,
his eyes chopped. Crying and moving around and stuff.
Yeah, like, that stuff is really cool. I don't know, I think there are a lot of really cool visuals. Obviously, there are some that bring it down, because it's very obviously like bad CGI, but I mean, you can tell that the director tried, and for the most part, like, did a great job. Like, in some cases, like, did a really good job.
Yeah, I would agree. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 7, so I'm right there.
Let's get the obvious out of the way for audio. The soundtrack for this movie,
fucking amazing.
Jesus Christ, I am so excited to use Helena. And then that Disturbed song, probably, for this episode. Like, and like we were sitting there because we all watched this together, and it was just a fucking blast to like, and especially with the music. We're like, holy shit, this like every single song was so great, and I loved it. Acting. My biggest complaint, more than anything else, because I know people like to tear into Paris Hilton for her acting job in this because it basically was nothing. Padalecki should have been the twin brother, and Chad Michael Murray should have been the boyfriend, because there was zero chemistry between Cuthbert and Padalecki.
I agree.
And there was a shit ton between Cuthbert and Chad Michael Murray, so it made so many scenes in this movie
uncomfortable.
Feel so incestuous.
Like, I'm wondering if, like, maybe there was something going on between those two while they weren't filming, because it very much felt like you guys are way too comfortable with each other.
We had to keep checking in with each other, but, like, they're related, right? Like, yeah, they're twins. There was some VC Andrews shit up in here. I didn't think Paris Hilton was as bad as everybody makes her out to be, but, like, she definitely wasn't very good, and she was the weakest of all of them.
Yeah,
I found the demented mechanic brother to be pretty creepy.
Yeah, like he did a good job like embodying that role, I think.
And I thought Cuthbert overall was a pretty decent scream queen. Getting her finger cut off and like getting out of the chair and all that. Like,
yeah,
I definitely think she would have fit well into like a TCM kind of dirty, grittier kind of horror film. Like I would almost put her performance up there with like Jessica Biel from TCM. Like I found them both to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Fucking the weird incest in this movie though.
It was too like it was too much. Like when they should have pivoted when there was that much chemistry between those two. I can't give it a perfect score even though I want to because of how amazing the soundtrack is, because there are some flaws here, but I did give it a 7.5 for audio.
I give it a 7.
How scary.
This one is a little interesting to me because I do think that there are moments that still get under my skin. I think it's more of, it's less of like a fear and more of just like stuff that grosses me out.
Yeah.
Like the finger getting cut off or the mouth or the ankle getting snipped, because that fucking shakes me to my core. But I think it's a lot more... It's weird because I think TCM did it better.
100%. TCM is a scary movie.
And, like, here it's like, what if we put those characters in similar situations, but somehow alleviated the fear a bit and just kind of, like, focused in on the, like... grittiness of it. But even then, like, TCM is a lot more grittier.
Do you know what I found the scariest part of this movie to be? Like, the finger cutting off scene is what I remember. Padalecki getting waxed alive and crying is definitely up there. But the scene that freaks me out the most, and I kind of forgot about it until we watched it again, is when they're sitting around the fire and that truck pulls up with the lights, the brights on them, and then just pulls away. Like, again, well, that's why I get the plot. Yeah, that's why I get the plot such a low score. If that happened, I would be so gone so fucking fast. Like, that's out of my nightmares.
I wouldn't even fucking sleep there. I'd be like, I don't give a shit how sleep deprived I am. I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm getting to a major populous area with a door with a goddamn lock on it.
Yes.
And then I'm pushing the dresser in front of it, and I'm probably not sleeping for like 3 days. Like, that scene, like, it's like, I did a lot of camping, and obviously we've gone to some pretty remote places and stuff together for our weekly or our yearly Halloween trips, and there's no way, dude. Like, that's like a true like nightmare, like, of mine.
That is, like, I can tell you right now, let's say when we were in Michigan, if something like that happened, I'd be fucking back in Canada before I fell asleep.
Oh yeah,
we'd be on the road back to Canada, hotel room, fucking locks, shit in front of, like, no way.
Because it's like, and that's the scariest thing, like, even if that was all that happened and nothing all the other stuff that happened, obviously, but like, I would not stop thinking about that for the rest of my life.
There's like, things that like stick with you, and that would be like number one for a very long time.
Yeah, and like I said, there are some other good scenes, like the lip scene I found really good, and the ankle cutting and the finger getting cut off. But like, if I'm being honest, the scariest part is just that truck sitting there with the brights on and then pulling away.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's the thing, is like the other stuff is like, it's not really like scary. It's just like stuff that kind of like, ugh.
It's the slashery tropes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine, dude. I couldn't fucking imagine. Just not knowing and just like thinking and wondering if they're going to come back or like how the fuck they slept. Dude, ain't no fucking way. In a million zillion years. Never. So for those reasons and a lot of others, I actually gave it a pretty decent How Scary score, because like I had nightmares about that later on. I gave it a 7. Like, that scene fucking is terrifying.
Yeah, I gave it a 5. It was very like, it was middle of the road, but not in like a bad way. It was just very like, there was a lot of fear up front, and then later it was just like disgust, I guess.
I'd agree with that. All right, to review our scores for plot, I gave it a 4.5, you gave it a 5. For cinematography, I gave it a 6.5, Justin gave it a 7. For audio, I gave it a 7.5, Justin gave it a 7. And for How Scary, I gave it a 7, Justin gave it a 5. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score with 62, in comparison to the original House of Wax that got a 73. In our master rankings, FG. Okay, it's actually tied, Justin, with some staples. The films it's tied with are The Boy, OG Night of the Living Dead, and Prince of Darkness. The films below it are The Black Cat, Friday the 13th Part 3, Friday the 13th The Final Chapter, Scream 4, and The X-Files movie. And the films above it are The Boy. Sorry, it's tied with The Boy. The films above it are The Suspiria remake, Invisible Man, and Halloween Ends.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting company.
That is our review for Paris Hilton's House of Wax. And stick around. We're going to head on in to the post. We'll share a drink and step outside. An angry voice and one who cried. We'll give you everything and more. This thing is too much. Can't take much more. Next week, because we're banking this, and when you listen to this, I very well might be a dad by the time you hear it.
Wait, when is this episode coming in?
This episode, Justin, is slated to drop on April 22nd.
Oh, I can say something. I've been playing the new Alone in the Dark. I've been playing the new Alone in the Dark, and Rise of Ronin is a really fucking weirdly good game that I was not expecting to get into. What else can I say? Oh, sorry. This is exciting for me.
Yeah, you got like 6 weeks here.
Yeah, fuck. Okay. And I can actually talk about stuff. The new Dead by Daylight chapter is awesome. And actually, remind me to tell you what happened in the interview when we're not recording.
Okay.
And PAX was cool. I got to interview a bunch of people. like Suda51, if anybody knows who that is. I don't think you would, Larry, but
okay.
He did like No More Heroes and Shadows of the Damned and Killer 7.
I know Killer 7.
Oh, you do know Killer 7?
Mm-hmm. Because there was a gun in the OG Resident Evil 4 called Killer 7, and so I played the game.
Oh, yeah. Anyways,
The movie.
Oh.
It was a movie or a game? I don't know. Something.
It's a game. This dude, he made a game. okay. Anyways, yeah. I did get to do a bunch of cool stuff. Yeah, sorry.
Next week should be the Separate Ways DLC.
Okay.
But we aren't recording that for like 3 weeks because we're double recording movies next week. And then you're off for PAX. So
yes.
If baby comes early, who the fuck knows? But the plan is Separate Ways for you guys. Yep. We do have one quiz for the Patreon section. Thanks for being understanding with these kind of shorter episodes. We got to double record since me and Justin are both working like madmen. Yeah. we want to get you the content, but we just don't have the 90-minute in us, especially for crappier things. What's
Before up? I forget, sorry. One last thing I can talk about. I played Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and it was...
How was it?
Undetermined, because I'm playing it at PAX.
Okay, 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 fair. let me know, because I am actually curious about that. Patrons, stick around, and until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.